Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to jump in right away and bring Congressman Pete Stauber into the conversation. The representative announcing yesterday he is running for his third term to represent the 8th District. Congressman, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Let me start with the simplest question and get to a number of matters over the next 10, 12 minutes. Why do you believe you have done enough to win election once again to serve your constituents?
Well, Chad, first off, it's great to be with you once again, and Happy New Year. I really believe 2022 is going to be a good year for not only our state, but our country. So, you know, I'm running for re-election. I'm really, really excited for the opportunity. And it's a privilege and honor to serve. And so every single day, whether I'm in a district or whether I'm in Washington, D.C., I work towards goals that help the American people. I work towards supporting those economic drivers, not only in our region, but other parts of the country. And, you know, my record will speak for itself. And on November 8th, Chad, my constituents will make a decision. And I hope that I've earned their trust and respect, you know, as we go forward. But we have, 10 months left before the election. A lot of work to do for our great nation.
Okay, but give me 2 points that when you look at this last term or your first term, that you believe you can make the case to those folks in northeastern Minnesota, and you have a large district, and say, I played a part in this. This has helped our district, and it has helped the entire United States of America.
Sure. First off, after serving 23 years as a police officer, law enforcement reforms that my colleagues on the other side of the aisle tried to push last summer, I stood up against them. They were devastating for the profession. And after 15 months, Cory Booker last August said, we're done with police reform. We stood strong in support of police, in support of good, pragmatic legislation. My colleagues on the other side of the aisle didn't want that. They literally wanted to change and many instances, defund the police, putting money into other areas. And I fought for that, number one. Kevin McCarthy tasked me, Chad, with making sure that legislation was supportive of police and supportive of safer communities. And the other thing I will just tell you is the mining and manufacturing that we have the ability to put forth in northeastern Minnesota, specifically, Chad, on critical minerals. And, you know, we have the Duluth Complex. We have put forth statistics that would say that to help with our supply chain dependency, we can provide this nation and the manufacturing process with these critical minerals that we need so very much. And I think it's important as the senior member on the Energy and Minerals Resources Subcommittee and the top Republican that we continue to push for energy and mining dominance. And it's right, you know, literally right in our backyard. So I think that we have the ability to change some legislation for the better. And those are just two quick ones off the top of my head. Used my police experience to put forth conversations behind the scenes in order to better equip not only the law enforcement communities, but the district attorneys and our federal prosecutors to make sure that we actually prosecute these crimes. Okay,
so let me jump in on that, Congressman, because I want to get to a number of points, and I know your constituents are curious to hear more points. I know I've heard you, I've read comments when you have been highly critical of President Biden and his policies towards police and what is happening in cities. The president not one time has said he is for defunding the police. So when we're talking about the crime rate increasing in major cities, what specific policy are you talking about regarding President Biden and what he has pushed to pass?
What we need to do is put more police officers on the street. And and I don't want to get too much in the weeds here, but the use of force continuum that all departments have, Chad, the very first use of force is officer presence. When an officer is present, there's the high likelihood that a crime won't happen or they will be caught. So you have to have people, and officers rather, out on the streets being seen by potential suspects, so they think twice about doing what they're about to do and victimize. And you're seeing that across the nation. And when in 2020, this in the summer of 2020, when many major cities, Chad, were being brought down by crime, and you're still seeing it today. I mean, I don't have to tell you the statistics in Minneapolis. We have to invest in our police, invest in technology, and invest in training. And Chad, I will tell you,
but Joe Biden isn't saying. I just got to jump in. But Joe Biden isn't saying take more police off the streets.
Well, I will disagree with you. Tell me when he said that we need to bring more police out. Tell me when he said we need more technology, we need more training, we have to protect. Hey, we lost 157 police officers that were killed in the line of duty, the highest ever recorded. 157. And our police officers have been devastated by this defund the police movement, and Chad, just the disrespect for law enforcement. I am a champion for law enforcement. And by the way, Chad, you probably won't hear many people say this, but nobody hates a bad cop more than a good cop.
Okay, so let me jump into that. You can point out where you think Joe Biden has to do more, but I've never once heard him say he's in favor to defund the police. So let's stay with police officers. For folks, and I say this all the time, I'll say it to you as a former officer.
Yeah.
Overwhelming number of officers I've encountered, I have observed, are good to very good to great. But there are certain jobs, and police is one of them, when we have the outliers, that we have to find a way to locate them and get rid of them. And they are the smaller, much smaller percentage than the overwhelming good ones. Are we doing enough to get rid of the ones who are causing issues, calling them out, but at the same time balancing that we need to get more officers to work all across the country and including in Minnesota?
I think, Chad, you said something that is so true, that every profession has its outliers, including law enforcement. You and I probably know attorneys that shouldn't be attorneys, judges that shouldn't be judges, police officers that shouldn't be police officers, firefighters. You can name the profession. And so what it takes, in my mind, is leadership within a police agency or the law enforcement community. I'll give you an example. The Justice Act that Senator Scott and I wrote has in there that you must take a psychological exam prior to hiring. And what that does, Chad, it gives that hiring agency a real, real good look whether that candidate will fit into your agency. And when you do it right, the actual psychological testing folks will kind of give you some help in that, in determining. Ultimately, it's the agency that will make that decision. But quite frankly, the psychological testing in the hiring process for law enforcement is really, really important. You can weed out some people that profession just isn't for them. And it doesn't mean they're bad people by any stretch of the imagination. It's just that law enforcement specifically would not be a good fit with that candidate. And that's just one a striking example of good legislation that isn't even being looked at.
So I'm looking at something that I looked up here, that the Justice Department – recently in late November announced another $139 million for law enforcement hiring to advance community policing. And looking ahead to next year, President Biden has requested another $537 million. So we just don't agree on the numbers and President Biden and policing. But I want to get to other issues.
Chad, let me just talk about community policing. I helped build the community policing program in the city of Duluth, and we're very proud of it. Community policing is really a philosophy that you don't police your community, you police with your community. And that is really what community policing is all about. And when you do it right, you can be effective, keep your community safe, and hold offenders accountable.
I agree. I'm just pointing out where Joe Biden, in fact, looking ahead, has offered up an increase in this area of $300 million. So I don't think that's low on police. I want to get to the election because this is still in the news. It shouldn't be. We should have accepted that Joe Biden won the presidency, but it is still going on. Donald Trump has more power than any Republican in this country. It is not close. He continues to say that the election was fraudulent and that he won, and there are many Republicans who are constituents of yours, many Republicans who are elected to Congress and Senate and state races who say that Donald Trump won. Can you end this and specifically say that Joe Biden in November 2020 had more votes than Donald Trump and won a fair and free election?
Donald Trump won in 2016. President Biden won in 2020.
And he won a fair and free election.
Just like Donald Trump did.
Yep. Okay. The Voting Rights Act. Why shouldn't it be passed as it was in 2006 when it passed the Senate 98-0?
So, Chad, one of the things that, and I'm glad you brought this up, this is the federal takeover of elections. It really takes over the state's authorities to put on their own elections. And this federal election, just for example, for your listeners, I believe there are 31 states that have voter ID that the state legislators have put forth. This specific federal takeover election says the federal government is going to say, no, you don't need voter ID. You're gonna go over the state's authority and the state's rights, which is problematic. And I will just share with your listeners as well, as you run for election, and I'm just going to give you two examples. If when Nancy Pelosi runs for election, if this voting rights piece of legislation passes, Chad, it's a 6-to-1 match. So if you give Nancy Pelosi $200 for her reelection, Nancy Pelosi goes to the federal government and gets $1,200. It's a 6-to-1 match, injecting federal government money into a campaign. And as an example, Speaker Pelosi would get $22.7 million of taxpayer money to run for reelection. And Chuck Schumer.
And hold on, I'm just going to jump in. You think everyone, if it passes, including you, would take that money?
I mean, there is nobody that I talk to that want taxpayer money being funded for elections. Taxpayer money, 6-to-1
match.
Well,
let me ask you this. I there are parts where people may disagree. I think there are many people who believe that candidates would not take that money. But there are many people who look at what's happened in many states where President Trump lost, but he claims that he won without the proof, and that changes have been made, which hurts the opportunity by voting by mail, voting earlier, drop boxes, that those have been eliminated. Are there certain bills that have passed where it gives you pause, where the federal government could play a part and should play a part?
I think that I would prefer that the states' rights in regard to the 12th Amendment, the states, Chad, determine the elections within their respective states. And they do that with the legislature, their own state legislature, for the House, the Senate, and the governor in those respective states. It's really, really important that we respect that in this federal takeover of election. And see, one of the problems, I think people understand this, one of the problems is when you've been in Washington, D.C. so long, you think that you know better than the American people or Minnesotans. And I think that's
But you would say this, there are times when the federal government does step in on a variety of issues if they feel like states overreach. That happens frequently.
Give me an example.
Well, you don't think there have been other issues where a state has made a policy and the federal government supersedes it, just like at the state level where they step in if a city steps up or a county steps up, including on voting rights, on health issues, on a lot of core issues that are important to all of us?
We were talking about election, and I asked you to give me an example, and you went right to health, et cetera. And I agree with that part, but give me an example on the election, please.
I don't think we should have states limiting voting by mail or extended voting or drop boxes. I don't.
Okay. The state legislators in many, many states disagree with you. They're the elected officials in those respective states. I think we really have to recognize that and respect their constituency that voted them in, that have, for example, required and supported voter ID or a certain time frame for the ballot to be put forth, or whether some states have, like Minnesota, you don't have to have an excuse for an absentee ballot. It's no excuse. And that's the states that are doing that. And I think that really, when you look at it from the top, from the top level, this is really, really concerning with this federal takeover of elections. And, also, your listeners, Chad, have to understand that this is going to transform the office of the Attorney General, which is an unelected position, to the election czar. Whoever is their Attorney General can tell the states they can change the state election law and circumvent state constitutional practices.
I am horribly late. I wish I could go back and forth more. I'm just going to say I really appreciate you coming on.
We really recognize that states have a right, and those elected officials, we have to really
understand. You also have governors, you have legislatures, and you do have times when the courts and the federal government step in. Congressman, I'm already.
I think that the states' rights really, really matter.
Yeah. Congressman, I'm already horribly late, but I just want to say I really appreciate you coming on, going back and forth on issues that matter to a lot of people, and please do it again. So thanks again for coming on.
You betcha. You take care. Bye-bye.
Congressman Stauber here on CCO. All right, this is short because we went long with Congressman Stauber. We love to have folks on from both sides of the aisle who are making news and let them make their points, but push them on facts and give you the opportunity to listen. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy the afternoon. Enjoy Paul and Jordana. They are next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.